You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Thursday, the 26th of July. Plenty of great action coming up as we head towards the weekend, including listed action here in Britain. We've also got a group race over in Ireland as well. Plenty of top stuff to come live on Racing Radio. Join us on the William Hill website or on the app. But here on the podcast is a slight sense of deja vu. There's myself, John Gibby, once again joined by James Millman. Hello, James.
It is a late replacement for Ross Briley, So lucky podcast listeners, you got me for 2 days in a row.
I'm sure they're over the moon about that, James, and they can't wait to hear your selections for Thursday's racing. But first of all, we'll turn our attention to what's happening on Saturday. We touched on the King George very briefly yesterday, but we'll have a slightly more in-depth look at the Flat Season Summer Highlight now, or supposed to be the Flat Season Summer Highlight. Here at William Hill at time of recording, Crystal Ocean and Poet's Word are the 2-1 joint favourites. 5-1 Kew Gardens, Coronet 9-1, 8-1 then for Cracksman, 9-1 Coronet. Rostropovich is 16-1, also 16-1 for Clifton Moher, and 25-1 Bar. James, the King George is a strange race because it seems like more often than not over the past few years we've been complaining about inclement weather and too much rain and soft ground. This year we've got the opposite problem.
Yeah, we are not going to get soft ground. Well, unless a rogue thunderstorm happens to hit Ascot, so I can't say that.
I think we might need a few rogue thunderstorms.
But it's going to be quick ground and it's not going to suit a lot of the horses that perhaps were earmarked for this race quite early in advance. Cracksman being one of those, and no surprise that it's unlikely he's going to be taking part, especially as he's looked very lacklustre on his last two outings. But the two that dominate the market are Sir Michael Stout Individuals, who is a trainer that excels with his older horses, doesn't over-race them at three. For him, the classics are not the be-all and end-all, and he's generally rewarded with some star older horses. And he's got two very good ones in his hands this year. Crystal Ocean has been earmarked as the best one for quite some time. Yeah, interestingly, Poet's Word has been strongly backed, and I'm just edging towards Crystal Ocean. For me, he's got that proven stamina over a mile and a half, which Ascot takes a bit of getting. And with Kew Gardens wanting a trip, I can't imagine this is going to be a steadily run King George. I think they're going to go quite hard, and I think for me, that's going to play into the strengths of Crystal Ocean, a horse who's won all three starts so far this year. Started off the year with a battling success, dropped back to the minimum 10 furlongs at Sandown when beating Fabricate. Nice win at Newbury, destroying second step by 6 lengths. And then last time at Royal Ascot, he was very impressive when beating Red Verdon in the Hardwick by 2.5 lengths. Ryan Moore has been on board for all three wins this season, which I'm sure Sir Michael's a little bit disappointed he can't get him in the King George with the main target itself. But understandably, Bally Doyle want their top jockey, and you'd think he'd be on Kew Gardens, the three-year-old. But for me, Crystal Ocean sets a standard. I think you're getting a little bit of value now at 2-1, because Poet's Word, while he obviously beat Cracksman last time, and that was a strong performance because they were very well spread out and behind. Is he as good at a mile and a half? For me, probably not. So that way I'll be edging towards Crystal Ocean.
You touched on the Bally Doyle contingent. One of Aidan O'Brien's horses in the race. He's got the likes of multiple Group 1 placed Cliffs of Moher, the Irish Derby runner-up Rostropovich, and Royal Ascot winner Kew Gardens.
Well, Cliffs of Moher's been busy, hasn't he? He had two Royal Ascot engagements, which is very rare for anything if it's not in the Ascot Stakes. And Queen Alexandra, he ran fourth behind Poet's Word in the Prince of Wales. That was a disappointing effort, wasn't it, really? Beating 11 lengths. Much better behind Crystal Ocean, and you could actually use that to crab Crystal Ocean a little bit, but I just think Clisson Mill was a bit of a law unto himself. He does what he wants, and perhaps he doesn't always show his best. He ran very well 1/3 in the Eclipse, but you'd be surprised if he was good enough to actually win the race. Kew Gardens, who appears to be the clear number one at the moment for Ballydore, for me, he's a little bit slow to be winning at King George. Not many Queen's Vase winners will be dropping back in trip for a mile and a half. Success in this contest, he won obviously at Longchamp in the Grand Prix de Paris last time out, but it wasn't a particularly strong race. DXB once again disappointed, like he did in the Irish Derby, and all I can't get out of my head was just how slow Kew Gardens looked at Lingfield in the Derby trial, where Knight to Behold was much sharper and quicker than him. So Kew Gardens for me just perhaps lacks the class, and I think it'll be dominated by the Sir Michael Stout duo.
And Crystal Ocean, your main way you're looking for this one?
That's where I'm edging. I think he's the number one for me at the moment. And Crystal Ocean is selection for the King George.
The King George live on Racing Radio this Saturday. Now we'll turn our attention to what's happening a little bit closer to home on Thursday. James, you picked out two selections for us from Thursday's racing as usual. What's the first one?
And the first one, we're going to go in the 2.55 at Sandown. A nice, valuable £30,000 Martex handicap. A shame only 5 3-year-olds are taking part. A little bit understandable, bearing in mind the quick ground conditions, but Andrew Cooper does a cracking job at Sandown. So slightly surprised a few more aren't taking part. But it's a competitive race, and of the five you could really roll out, the one I like is Mount Augustus, the son of Champs-Élysées, a sire whose progeny improve immensely as they step up in trip in mature, and he produced a career best when winning at Newmarket on similar ground in June, winning a mile 5 handicap by 6 lengths from Midnight Blue. Handicap has put him up £7 for that, but Race and Post ratings actually rated him £13 higher, so they have him having £6 in hand here. He handles the quick ground. I still think he's got a bit of improvement in him. 88's not an excessive mark, and I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. Obviously, there's a few dangers. Ghost Watts representing Team Godolphin and Charlie Appleby. He's done well this season. Won his maiden at Wolverhampton back in April, and then won here over course and distance, beating Charger Silk by 2 3/4 lengths. But went up £8 for that. And that mark at 90, which he runs off tomorrow, just looked a little bit on the high side when fifth to making miracles. And interestingly enough, I think Connections agree, because they've gone for cheek pieces, just trying to eke out a little bit more improvement. So for me, he needs to improve again. I think Mount Augustus is better handicapped off 88, and Henry Candy's horse is a selection for that £30,000 handicap at 2.55 at Sandown tomorrow.
Henry Candy potentially winning 1 mile 6 furlong handicaps. Don't know what's going to be happening next in this world, James, but we'll find out with your second selection. Where does that run?
That's Newbury. We're going to stick with a Milman horse, Ragstone View.
It wouldn't be a James Milman visit to the podcast if you didn't put up one of your dad's horses, would it?
I try to keep it simple. Horses I know extremely well. And in Ragstone View, he's been having plenty of fun at Newbury in recent weeks. He won a 7 furlong handicap over course and distance back on the 14th of June, where he beat Jackpot Royal on the good O'Shea Murphy ride. And I think he's been a little bit unlucky on his next two starts. There hasn't been a great deal of pace, and it's been a bit of a sprint finish on both occasions. He just hasn't quite got up over the 7 furlongs. He was beaten in a four-way photo behind Lucky Louie at Newbury, and then a week later behind Let's Be Avenue, who's gone on to win subsequently. He was second over a mile, where he ran a cracker. I think 7 furlongs is fine. This doesn't look to be a particularly strong handicap tomorrow, and I'd be disappointed if Ragstone View doesn't get another win on the board. He does need things to drop right for him. He's quite a keen individual, so you have to drop him out the back of the field, so you're a little bit of a hostage to pace. But there's only 8 runners, and hopefully he gets a clear run. Obviously Lucky Louie did beat him at Newbury 2 starts back, but I think we were unlucky on that occasion, and as long as there's a little bit of pace on, I think he can reverse the form.
Ragstone View then for James in that 8.50 at Newbury on Thursday. You can hear it on Racing Radio along with the rest of the day's action. And James, thanks very much for joining us today on the Daily Racing Podcast.
Not a problem.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.